Good day and welcome to the Q2 2017 JinkoSolar Earnings Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. For the duration of the call, all lines will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2017 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, General Miao, VP Global Sales, and Mr. Sebastian Liu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by General Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provision of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢，小哥，谢谢。各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning, good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
公司二季度组件出货量再创新高，达到2884兆瓦。 环比增长 39.5%， 收入达到 11.7亿美元， 环比增长 37.2%， 毛利率较 2017年一季度的 11.2% 小幅下滑至 10.5%。
Second quarter module shipment once again hit a record high, increasing 39.5% sequentially to 2,884 megawatts. Total revenue hit $1.17 billion, an increase of 37.2% from the first quarter. Gross margin dropped slightly to 10.5% from 11.2% in the first quarter of 2017.
我对公司本季度整体表现表示满意，但对毛利水平略感失望。本季度 ASP 下降，但供应链价格仍在较高水平，导致成本降幅低于 ASP 降幅。同时在大量订单的交付压力下， 我们也比预期使用了更多的 OEM 产品产能，这也拉低了整体毛利水平。我们正在重新审视市场策略，并计划进一步削减 OEM 的使用比例，从而提升公司的盈利水平。同时，我们还将加强库存管理以及削减经营费用。我相信，通过适当的策略调整以及公司的单晶硅片和破格电池片产能攀升，
We are pleased with our overall performance, but a little bit disappointed about the gross margins. With ASP decline during the quarter, prices along our supply chain remain relatively high, resulting in the decreasing of blended cost lower than the decreasing of ASPs. With the delivery pressure, we had also to allocate more manufacturing to our OEM partners than expected, which also averaged down our margins. We're currently reviewing some of our market strategies and plan to further cut down the use of OEM in order to improve our profitability going forward. Our efforts will also be focused on strengthening inventory management and controlling operating expenses. I believe that those adjustments in conjunction with our mono wafer and the perc sale capacity ramping up, will result in margin improvement during the second half of the year.
本季度国内市场由于630补贴削减前的抢装潮， 散装厂需求非常强劲，这个势头在三季度仍得到了延续。纵观整个下半年，领跑者项目、光伏扶贫项目和分布式项目将为国内市场提供稳定需求。中国今年将达到40吉瓦以上的装机规模，同时能源局更新的5年规划装机目标也为国内市场的长期需求提供了支持，接着稍后会进一步讨论。
Demand in China was very strong during the quarter, boosted by the rush orders before the June 13th feed-in tariff cut. This momentum carried on into the third quarter as well. Besides the Top Runner project and the PV poverty elevation project, DG project will also generate stable demand during the second half of 2017. This year, China will hit 14 gigawatts plus in installations, with long-term demand being supported by upwards revision of five-year targets set by the NEA, which China will talk about later.
美国市场方面，2011诉讼仍然给市场带来不确定性。尽管诉讼创造了抢装需求，但公司并未从中获益很多，因为公司在美国以服务长期客户为主，签订了大量中长期订单，并锁定了价格。我们将密切关注局势变化，并将据此调整战略。总的来说，我们认为美国太阳能市场长期增长的势头不会改变，并将继续巩固公司在美国市场的领先地位。
Turning to the U.S., the Section 201 petition continued to create market uncertainties. Well, this created rush demand. We don't benefit much from this because we target long-term clients in the U.S. With a big portion of our orders booked for mid- or long-term contract with lock-in prices, we will continue to monitor the situation and adjust our strategy accordingly. Overall, we believe that the U.S. solar sector's long-term growth momentum will not change,and we will continue to strengthen our leading position in the market there.
新兴市场需求持续增长，出货量比例在本季度攀升。尽管印度存在反倾销立案调查风险，以及一些地缘政治风险，我们认为印度政府2022年100吉瓦的装机目标不会改变，并将继续创造强劲的市场需求。拉丁美洲的墨西哥、阿根廷和巴西市场正呈现加速势头，中东的埃及和约旦市场在明年也有望成长为吉瓦级市场。新科能源领先的品牌和产品使我们在市场竞争中脱颖而出，我们不仅能够生产和提高高质量的产品，更致力于开发及维护与客户的长期合作关系。我们预期2018年新兴市场的需求将持续增长。
Demand in emerging markets continued to grow, accounting for a larger portion of our shipment during the quarter. Despite the initiation of the anti-dumping investigation and some geopolitical risks in India, we believe that the Indian government's 100 gigawatts target by 2023 is solid and will continue to create strong demand going forward. Mexico, Argentina, and Brazil in Latin America are gearing up, where Egypt and Jordan in the Middle East.Have the potential to become gigawatt level market next year. Tinko's leading brands and products have helped us differentiate ourselves and demonstrate to our customers that we are not only high quality product provider, but invest in developing and supporting a long-term relationship with them. We expect demand in emerging market to continue to grow in 2018.
总体看，今年下半年的订单可见度已在较高水平。公司已开始着眼于明年的订单，同时预计下半年 ASP 将保持稳定。
We already have strong visibility in our order books through the rest of the year and have already begun to take orders for next year. We expect ASP to remain stable during the second half of the year.
技术方面，公司的单晶硅片和薄荷电池片产能持续攀升。金刚线切割多晶硅片已进入量产，并将结合我们的黑硅电池技术。从单多晶的比例上看，我们预期单晶和多晶的需求将趋于理性和平衡。尤其是国内领跑者项目发布了新的标准后，竞争的关键还是效率和成本。同时，公司的技术团队在半片电池技术以及 N 型双面电池技术上也取得了良好的进展。随着新技术的稳定发展，我们将继续保持灵活的产能布局， 以应对瞬息万变的市场需求。
On technology front, we are still wrapping up our mono-wafer and perc-shape capacity. Our diamond wire-cutting multi-wafers are now in mass production, combined with our black silicon sale technology. We expect to see demand balanced and more rational for multi and mono products going forward, especially after the release of the new criteria for Chinese top-runner projects. The key of this competition is still efficiency and cost.Meanwhile, our tech team has also made good progress in developing half-cell technology and bifacial N-type cells technology. With solid progress being made in our new technology development, we will continue to maintain flexible and dynamic production capacity in order to meet demand from the rapidly changing market.
产能方面，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的内部产能二季度末分别达到六个 G 瓦、4.5 G 瓦和7.5 G 瓦。我们预期年底产能将分别达到 7.5G 瓦、4.5G 瓦和 8G 瓦，其中大约有 3.5G 瓦的单晶硅片产能，大约 2.5G 瓦的 PERC 电池产能。公司对产能扩充一直持谨慎态度，并将保持产能的灵活度。
Turning to manufacturing capacity, our internal wafer cell and module capacity reached 6 gigawatts, 4.5 gigawatts, and 7.5 gigawatts.Accordingly, by the end of second quarter, and we expect internal capacity reach 7.5 gigawatts, 4.5 gigawatts, and 8 gigawatts accordingly by the end of the year, of which approximately 3.5 gigawatts will be mono wafer and approximately 2.5 gigawatts will be perc cell. We remain cautious about expanding our manufacturing capacity and will maintain our flexibility.
话题交给 Jenner 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2017年第三季度，公司组件出货量预计在 2.1 到 2.3 吉瓦之间。2017年全年组件出货量预计将在 8.5 到9吉瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Jenner, I will quickly go over the guidance. Based on the current estimates, total solar module shipments will be in the range of 2.1 to 2.3 gigawatts for the second quarter, for the third quarter.And 8.5 to 9 gigawatts for the full year 2017.
谢谢 Sebastian. 接下来，现在我将话题交给 Jenner.
Thank you, Sebastian. With that, I'll turn it over to Jenner.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. During the quarter, we shipped a record high of 2,884 megawatts of solar modules. Demand remains quite strong even after the FIT cut in China.As Ms. Chen just mentioned, we are adjusting our business strategy towards focusing more on profitability. We plan to reduce OEM volume and strengthen inventory management, which may cause shipment growth to slow down during the second half of the year. We shipped to approximately 77 countries during this quarter. 51% went to China, 90% to emerging markets,11% to Asia Pacific, 10% to North America, and 9% to Europe. Market demand for our new technology products continued to be robust with wider acceptance. China retained its position as our largest market due to a surge in rush orders before the June 30th FIT cut. Demand after the June 30th cutoff remained strong, which was demonstrated by the 10 gigawatt installation during July. Orders from top-runner projects and the DG projects keep coming in, and we expect to see ASPs stabilize, and more customers step off the sidelines and place orders during the fourth quarter.China's long-term demand is also supported by the upwards revision of five-year targets set by the NEA. The new 86.5 gigawatt utility-scale installation target set at the provincial level doesn't include poverty alleviation projects and DG projects. We expected utility projects, PV poverty alleviation projects, and DG projects to create a 30 gigawatt plus market annually in China for the next 4 years. Module demand in the U.S. is expected to increase during the second half of 2017 as utility-scale developers stock up on the inventory ahead of the Section 201 decision. While we are prepared for the worst, we believe that any potential remedy recommendation could well be denied, as the Commission appears to have taken note of the impact potential tariff could have on the downstream sector and the solar industry as a whole in the U.S. Although we don't expect the U.S. market to grow significantly in 2018, with some pipelines may early release in the second half of 2017, the U.S. remains an important strategic market for us in long term. Rush orders in the U.S. have also created a shortage in some overseas markets and have pushed the prices upwards, such as in Europe. In Europe region, the demand turned out to be stronger than expected due to the rush orders from Turkey in Q2. It is expected that EU demand continue to be inspiring in Germany, Netherlands, France, especially after the new bid in Spain, which inspires a new business model of a grid parity market. In Asia Pacific region, shipments into large key accounts have grown significantly. For Australian market, 2017 has been a transformational year for its utility solar PV development, with the financial close of key projects with over 1 gigawatt solar pipeline. Demand in Japan is weaker than last quarter due to the seasonality following the end of their fiscal year. We, however, expect the future demand in Japan to be stable and remain one of our top markets. India launched an anti-dumping investigation against imported solar cells and panels in July, which so far has limited impact to market demand. The primarily growth driver in the market is the 100 gigawatt installation target by 2020 set by the Indian government, which should help maintain the strong growth momentum. We also expect to see a more hospitable business environment after China and India reached an agreement to ease the tensions. Demand in emerging markets continues to grow. In Mexico, we started to deliver our high-quality products for round one projects totaling over 1 gigawatt. At the end of June, we have reached a total shipment at 1.8 gigawatts in Latin region, and again more than 40% of market share as the market leader. We expect emerging markets to be an explosion of demand in 2018 in Egypt, Jordan in Middle East, and Mexico, Argentina, Brazil in Latin America. ASPs during the quarter came in at $0.377, a slight decrease from $0.395 in the last quarter. We expect the module prices to remain stable in the second half of 2017. In terms of our geographic mix, we expect a more balanced shipment portfolio during the second half. The percentage of shipment to China may drop to 35% to 40%, with the percentage gap filled by the U.S. and emerging markets. We continue to promote Jinko Solar's brand by attending various marketing and industry conferences. In May, we were invited to co-chair the B20 ECRE Task Force in Berlin. As the task force co-chair and the only Chinese enterprise invited to speak at the summit, we led the drafting of the climate change policy recommendations that we personally handed to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who is this year's G20 summit chairwoman. All in all, during Q2, we attended 13 trade shows and participated in 40 conferences. We also hosted 20 customer events, 15 customer trainings, 9 roadshows, and 24 co-marketing activities with key partners across the globe. All those activities further strengthened our leading position as one of the strongest and most recognized solar brands worldwide. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over our financial results of the second quarter of year 2017.
Thank you, Dylan. I'd like to walk you through our Q2 results. Total solar module shipments were 2.9 gigawatts, up 40% sequentially and up 68% year-over-year. Total revenue was $1.2 billion, up 37% sequentially and up 40% year-over-year. Gross margin was 10.5% compared to 11.2% in Q1 and 18.1% in Q2 2016. We continue to cut our blended cost to 34 cents per watt from 35 cents in the first quarter. The operating expenses represented 9.5% of total revenue compared to 10.3% in Q1 and 12.7% in Q2 2016. EBITDA from continued operation was $37 million compared to $37 million in Q1 and $99 million in Q2 2016. Net income was $7 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 20 cents. Non-GAAP net income was $9 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 28 cents. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. By the end of second quarter, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $280 million compared to $249 million at the end of Q1. Inventories were $768 million compared to $780 million at the end of Q1. The total debt was $1.1 billion compared to $886 million at the end of Q1, and net debt was $786 million compared to $637 million at the end of Q1. The company's working capital was $57 million compared to $117 million at the end of Q1. The reducing in working capital is mainly due to the CapEx. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Philip Shen of Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Justin Clare. I'm on for Phil today. Thanks for taking our questions. So first, I wanted to talk about your guidance. We're calculating implied Q4 guidance of about 1,350 to 1,850 megawatts. It suggests volumes could be down 27% quarter over quarter. Just wondering if you could talk about, you know, what you expect to see from the U.S. and the China markets in Q4 and how that is impacting your Q4 outlook.
Yeah, this is Jenna. Regarding the shipment targets, we are one side, we are targeting for sure the high end of the previous guidance, which is 9 gigawatts annually. Meanwhile, if the market demand is strong, we sure give you more color by the next quarter earnings.
Okay, thanks. And then if we could shift to ASPs, can you share what your ASPs were by region for Q2? And then if you could talk about what the outlook is for ASPs by region in Q3, that'd be helpful.
So for Q2, the ASPs, let me illustrate some key markets. So for China, the market price, is around 36 to 37 US dollar cents. And for Japan, the price is at the high 30s, let's say 38 to 40 US dollar cents. U.S. market is at the, on average, low 40s, let's say 40 to 42 U.S. dollar cents. And the Indian market is relatively lower, it's in mid-30 range, 30, let's say 33 to 35 U.S. dollar cents. And Europe is kind of high 30 and similar to Japan market, is let's say 38 to 40 U.S. dollar cents. And we are expecting a kind of stable ASPs between Q2 and Q3.
Okay, that's helpful. And then finally, can you share how much you paid in tariffs in Q2? And then is the cost of the tariff included in your blended cost that you provide?
This is Charlie. I think you are talking about the tariff paid for the U.S. shipments.
I think
the second quarter, the tariff should be very small. And we did include the tariff cost as, you know, the cost of goods sold.
Okay.
And the background is, you know, for the U.S. shipments, we have allocated the non-China capacity to the U.S. market. That is why, you know, we don't pay any. I think it's just very small, and the tariff for the U.S. shipments.
Okay, that makes sense. That's it for me. I'll pass it on.
Our next question comes from the line of Maheep Mandloi of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking a question. Could you just talk more about the strategic review you spoke about in the prepared remarks? What steps do you plan to take to improve the business, and how should we look at your gross margins and OPEX, operating expense in the second half because of that?
You know, we are shifting the strategy to the profitability. And if you look at our shipments in the second quarter, it's around 2.8 gigawatts. And we have annual capacity for the module only 7 gigawatts. So that means we need to, you know, to OEM module around 30%, and which created, you know, the lower gross margin in the second quarter. And we committed to focus, you know, the balance of shipments, profitabilities, and gross margins in the second half year. And we have cut dramatically, you know, the OEM capacities in the second half year. And below 10% for the OEM capacity. Second one, from the cost perspective, you know, we are, for the multi-wafer, we are implementing the diamond wire technology, and which will, you know, improve the cutting cost for the wafer. And for the model perk, which is in supply shortage, and we are ramping up very quickly, and we are able to ship around 20% mono perk, shipments, 20 to 25% in the second half year. And regarding the operating expenses, that is the area we are working on. And if you like some kind of indications for the gross margin, I would like to say it's going to be stable and in the second third quarter and to improve in the fourth quarter. And for the operating expenses, we are looking for the range of, you know, around, I think, 9.5% to 9.8%.
Thanks. That's helpful. And just on the downstream business, could you talk about how would you exit that business? Like, would you be selling that business to someone? What happens to the existing projects, and does the exit impact your gross margins and OPEX again?
Sure. I think, you know, we have decided to continue to focus on the solar module business and solidify our leading position, you know, in a solar module business globally. And for the existing downstream international projects, we have, I think, sizable late-stage projects, which was around 580 megawatts. And for the existing projects, we'll continue to develop and construct and connect to the grid. The COD timing, depending on different projects, will be from Q4 2018 to the first half year 2019. And after the connection, at this stage, we are open to the monetization models, but after the connection of the projects, we are open to monetize the projects. And we have decided, starting from third quarter, we will not develop, any new international projects.
Thanks. That's helpful. And in general, given your focus on your model manufacturing business, could you just talk about your capacity expansion plans beyond 2017? Some of your competitors in China have said that they're accelerating capacity additions. Do you plan to add more capacity? And as a follow-up, could you just talk about CapEx in the second half?
You mean second half of 17 or next year? Next year, right? This year?
In Q3 and Q4 of this year.
Okay. And, by the end of the year, we'll have 7.5 gigawatts wafer, 4.5 gigawatts cell, and 8 gigawatts and solar modules. And including mono wafer capacity, I think 3.5 gigawatts, and per capacity 2.5 gigawatts. And we are doing the planning, for the 2018. The capacity expansion, is under discussion. But, it's depending on how we look at the 2018. But we will continue to adopt the disciplined capacity approach, which means we'll continue to maintain lower level of wafer and cell capacity and relatively higher the module capacities. If you are talking about CapEx, for 2018, I think in general I will expect, the 2018 CapEx should be lower than 2017.
Thanks. Thanks for doing your questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Scott Chu of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions. My first question is regarding the downstream project that you just mentioned. Can I know the geographical breakdown of those international projects? And also in terms of the CapEx in the second quarter, how much is attributable to downstream and how much is from midstream? This is my first question.
Sure. And for the geographical mix for the downstream projects, we have around 508 megawatts in the projects. And I think we have three projects in Mexico, which is around, 250 megawatts. And one project in Abu Dhabi, we hold 20% equity, so it's around 240 megawatts, something like that. And we have another one project in Argentina. And regarding the Q2 CapEx, the total amount is roughly $160 million. And because, the international projects we are going to start construction in later 2018 and earlier 2019. So the CapEx for the downstream projects in Q2 is very small.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is about the OEM. You just mentioned that you reduced the OEM in Q3, but given that we know that the Chinese shipment in July and August was actually quite robust, and so I would like to know how much OEM have you used for July and August alone? Hello?
Yes, this is Jenna speaking. So in general, if you look in the Q2 total shipment minus our internal capacity, that should be gives you a range between, let's say, 25 to 30% of total capacity is using the OEM, mainly from the module end. And for the Q3, we are significantly reduced such amount. if you look into the guidance we provided, for shipment guidance provided to the Q3 and minus our internal module capacity, which should be around 7 gigawatts annually, that should be the OEM we are trying to use right now.
Okay, thank you. And thank you. And for my last question is about the cost reduction. And I know that currently we stand at 34 cents in Q2. And to what extent do we see the cost reduction could be for Q3 and Q4? Do we target at like maybe like 30 or 31 cents by the end of this year?
For the cost reductions, and given the the high polysilicon price in the third quarter, and we are expecting from the blended cost perspective, we are targeting to achieve 31 to 32 cents by the end of the year. For the in-house manufacturing costs for both multi and mono perk, we are targeting in-house production costs below 30 cents.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's helpful. I have one more question. Is about the R&D tax reduction that you mentioned in the announcement. Can I know how much is the tax reduction?
It's roughly I think $5 million, and for the R&D reductions, I think. Just to do some clarify, it's kind of for the PRC companies, and each year for the high technology companies, you are subject to 50% additional tax reductions, but it will be approved from the next year. So we got the approval for the last year's R&D 50% reductions and recorded in the second quarter.
Okay, so it's like a reversal of previous tax taxation.
It's not a reversal. It's kind of to true up the tax benefit, and we are able to enjoy in last year, but it's subject to approval, and this year by tax authority, and it's typically happening in the second quarter, because that's the tax finding deadline, for Chinese companies.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Gordon Johnson of Exxon Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. With respect to the gross margin, just focusing on that a little bit, it seems like the gross margin this quarter was a little below expected. With polysilicon and wafer prices doing what they're doing, up again both significantly today on PV Insights, and MOSFET is appearing flattish, can you give us some guidance with respect to kind of how we should expect your gross margin to trend? And can you tell us what the ASP was in the second quarter, as well as what you expect the ASP to be in the third and fourth quarter? And then I have a follow-up phase.
Golden, I think I just answered a question in terms of gross margin, and we are looking to improve in the second half year, and you're right, now the polysilicon price and even I think the wafer price increased a little bit, and particularly for the poly increased 20%, even 25% in the third quarter. From our perspective, we are counting the OEM volume, so which means we are counting the blending cost. And for the second half year, so which will offset again some kind of negative impact, and by the poly, the high poly price, and regarding the poly price, we expect to continue to be strong to the end of the September, and may come down a little bit in the fourth quarter. So we in addition, we are ramping up perk, mono perk capacity. So that is why I'm saying, the gross margin to be stable in the third quarter and to improve in the fourth quarter. That's our expectations.
And for the this is Sebastian, and for the ASP, I think General just said in his speech, and our ASP during the second quarter is 37.7 US cents.
Okay, I'm sorry, you said the ASP was 37.5 cents. Did I catch that correct?
37.7 US dollar cents for Q2, and I'm expecting the number will be very stable from Q2 even until the year end.
That's helpful. That's helpful. And then I guess lastly, as we spoke to in China, have said that they have limited visibility into the fourth quarter with respect to installations and kind of how things are going to trend. It seems like you guys are saying you have more visibility. Number one, is that correct? And number two, why do you think maybe some of your peers are saying they have less visibility into Q4 in China?
For firstly, my comments regarding China demand for Q4. Actually, the China market is kind of the total installation number is very large in 2017, and the demand in second half is much stronger than people expected compared with what's happening or what has happened in 2016. So that's why, you know, the poly price is stable, even goes up sometimes recently, and together with this visibility of the installation, because according to our market intelligence, the installation there should be some more clarities now, even let's say in the recent 2 or 3 weeks time compared with what our peers has when our peers announced their earnings, I think almost 1 month ago, because the China policy has more clarities and people has held their pipelines for long enough, so it will be very limited time left for the year to finish the installations before year end. So in general, my comments for China market demand for Q4, the visibility are much better in general, and for Jinko specifically, because we are trying to let's say maximize our profitabilities by reducing our OEM volumes, that means our total availability of the capacity will be less than previous plan. So, and the visibility of the total order book are in a very high level. That's why we are seeing the ASPs and also the order books are very, let's say, visible.
Okay, and actually just one last one if I could. I thought last quarter you guys said you expected some gross margin improvement with respect to PERC helping, your PERC technology helping gross margins, and you also said that you expected ASP improvement, I believe, last quarter. So are we just seeing a delay in that, or is it it's somewhat volatile in those benefits coming in? Again, thanks for the questions.
Yeah, let me answer your question regarding ASPs. So for if you look into the PERC products alone, you definitely you will see the ASPs are better in Q2, even in Q3 compared to what we have in Q1. The total ASP or weighted average ASP is not only depends on the PERC itself, it also have other products jump in, so that will impact the total ASP. I will leave the gross margins to Charlie.
Yeah, I think, you know, the high, you know, material supply cost is, you know, exceeding, you know, our expectations, and like, you know, the poly, the cell, and due to the strong, you know, I think most of people don't anticipate such strong shipments in China, and push the material cost higher than our expectations. So that is another area, you know, which has an impact on the gross margin.
Yes. Gordon, let me explain in more detail, because when we when we announced the Q1 results, in fact, we already have very good visibility about the Q2 shipment and also the ASPs. So, but our call is based on our expectation of Q2. But like Charlie just said, that the value chain price in our supply chain is kind of above our expectations, especially the price of polysilicon and sales. So in fact, the problem lies in the cost, not lies in the volume shipments or the ASPs.
Thanks a lot, guys. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of John Sigrish of Luminis. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I just wanted to understand one thing about the OEM business. Is the OEM business that you're doing actually gross margin positive, or was it possibly even gross margin negative during the quarter, and that's why you feel better about the margin going forward?
You know, the OEM gross margin is positive, but it's very low. You know, I think, you know, I don't have the exact number, but it's like, you know, around maybe 5%.
Yeah, it depends. Some of them are very low, but the, on average, it's way below our average gross margin.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sorry, this is Jenna. I want to add more colors on your question regarding OEM. I think everyone's asking about it. So in the bad time of the market, OEM is definitely positive to the company shipment numbers and also the gross margins. But at the peak time, especially during the Q2 rush hour, especially in China, you know, everyone's short of supply. The market is in short of supply. So when you are looking for the support from the OEM players, you have to share the margins and cakes with them. So that's I think a pretty, part of the reason why, you know, the margins are comparatively low.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. And now I would like to turn the call back to Sebastian Liu for any additional closing remarks.
At this moment, on behalf of the entire Jinko Solar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.